And sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you this day from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. According to some historians, it was Benjamin Franklin who penned the well-known phrase, "The only things certain in life are death and taxes." And each day we're reminded of them. Take the last one, for example, taxes. We have taxes on income, we have taxes on our property, and don't forget taxes on goods and services. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, "Taxes are the price we pay for a civilized society. And yet, while we complain about all those taxes, we'd still rather deal with them than the other certainty in life, that being death." The reality of death is not something we enjoy talking about or even thinking about. But yet, we would have to all admit that death really is a normal part of life. You see that as you open the newspaper, you look online and see that list of obituaries, name after name, day after day. But even with death all around us, it still shocks us. It feels like this is not supposed to happen to me and my family. And so the pain comes, and so does the sadness, and so do the tears. It is interesting that when you read through the four Gospels and you read about Jesus' life, you just don't read about Jesus crying very much. Now, that's not trying to say that he didn't cry, nor is it suggesting that Jesus somehow thought that it was wrong for a man or a woman to cry. We just don't have his tears recorded in the Scripture, except for two times. The first was when he looked over his beloved city of Jerusalem, and seeing her rebellion and sin and rejection of the Messiah, his heart was broken. Luke records that Jesus said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes." And the Bible says he wept for the city. The other time Jesus cries is in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 11, the Gospel lesson assigned for this day when his good friend Lazarus had died. Where did it come to Jesus from Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, that Lazarus was sick? The implication from their message was that Lazarus was on death's door, and only Jesus could help them. But by the time Jesus had arrived, Lazarus was already dead. To be precise, it had been 4 days since the body of Lazarus was placed in a tomb. So what's so significant about 4 days? Well, according to the Jewish myth, in that day, the life of a person hovered over the body for 3 days. And on the fourth day, it left, never to return. It was now the fourth day, and nothing more could be done. Not by the sisters, not even by Jesus. Or so everyone thought. "Martha," Jesus said, "your brother will rise again." But Martha misunderstood what Jesus was referring to. But who wouldn't have? "I know he will rise again," Martha said. "He will rise again in the resurrection on that last day." But that wasn't exactly what Jesus meant. Notice the content of the situation here. Jesus has intruded on the enemy's turf. He's standing in Satan's territory. Devil, or death, is the devil's toy. And Jesus' stomach turns as he sees the work of the devil. For Satan had been there. He had violated one of God's creatures. And when Jesus sees Mary's tears and Martha's tears, St. John records the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Mary and Martha and Lazarus were like family to Jesus. So no, it shouldn't shock us to see Jesus cry as he too experiences the pain and sadness at the death of a loved one. Even the people who had gathered with Mary and Martha that day, they also too commented on what they saw in Jesus. See how he loved him? But those tears, that weeping, that mourning is not where this story ends. Death and the grave are never the last words, because death and the grave are no match for Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life, he said. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Oh, how Satan must have trembled when he heard those words. And then Jesus focuses on the grave and he cries out, Lazarus, come out! And yes, death is broken for a moment as Lazarus emerges from the tomb alive. Oh, the celebration that must have happened that day. And yes, though Lazarus may not have been too keen about coming back from the dead, yes, his family and his friends rejoiced. And Jesus too rejoiced to see his friend once again. As you and I hear that familiar story again, the question I ask this day is this. Where do you see yourself in the story? Do you see yourself in the position of Mary and Martha waiting for your loved one in the resurrection on the last day? Strange as this may sound, I see in us the person of Lazarus. Even his name relates to us. The name Lazarus means the Lord helps. What an appropriate name for the man, because by all outward appearances, he was totally helpless. He was completely bound up, strings around his arms, cords around his legs, a cloth placed over his head. Lifeless in a tomb with the stone in front and the smell of decay inside. Yes, Lazarus was completely helpless. And the Lord, in all his majesty and glory, comes to Lazarus and he helps the helpless in such a powerful way. Are you starting to see why I see us in the person of Lazarus? How often have we found ourselves being helpless, frustrated, bound up, decaying, even spiritually dead? Maybe it's after the death of a loved one. Maybe it's because a son or daughter continues to rebel. Or just maybe it's because of all the things happening in our world around us today. And we can't seem to find the presence of God in our lives. Yet in all this confusion and helplessness, the Lord comes to us and continues to help us. And that's because he understands firsthand what we're going through. As Jesus made his way to Jerusalem, he knew what lied ahead. He knew he was going to face violence. He knew that one of his friends would leave him. He knew that the government was going to miscarry justice. He knew that one of his disciples would betray him. He knew he would suffer, that he would face hell, and that he would die for the sins of the whole world. But as he showed with Lazarus, death would not be the end of his story. No, the grave would not have the last word. Because again, death and the grave are no match for Jesus. For as Jesus had said three times that he would rise from the dead to announce that all that death is not the end. And because of Jesus rising from the dead, death will not be the end to us either. For in our baptism, we were buried with Jesus into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Death can make us feel helpless, but God comes to us. He walks with us. He even cries with us. But above all, God helps us. Let this be in our Savior's name. Amen.